بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Inshallah, on this first day of Ramadan of the year 427 after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will begin the durus on the Quran, focusing on the Quran, since this is the month of the Quran in which the Quran was revealed. And the focus will be upon some of the chapters or surahs of the Quran, explaining them. And the explanation of these chapters of the Quran will be based upon the work of our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. And he rahimahullah made the explanation of these chapters during the open sessions which he used to have at his home, weekly open sessions, open door sessions on Thursdays of each week. So, in the beginning, the Shaykh rahimahullah, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all that exists, and making salah on the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and upon his household, and the companions, and those who followed them in righteousness until the day of resurrection, the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned that he will discuss this these chapters from the Mufassal, which is considered to include or to begin with Surah Qaf, in accordance with some of the opinions of the scholars, and the other is to begin with Surah Al-Hujurat, according to the other opinion. In this surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, which is chapter 49, this surah contains great etiquettes and beneficial etiquettes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this surah by the verse 1 in it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. Oh, who you believe, do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Messenger, and fear Allah. Verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. In the beginning, you see here there is an address. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this by addressing the believers. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O who you believe. And here one should know, as Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, when the address is Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O who you believe, then know that it's either a good that you are commanded to do, or an evil that you are called to abstain from. فَأَرْعِهِ سَمْعَكْ, then give it your ears and listen to it. Give it your attention. So therefore, when one reads in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, one remembers the words of Ibn Mas'ud, that this is either something good that the believer is commanded to do, or something evil which the believer is called to abstain from and to keep away from. Also, this address, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, indicates that adhering to what is being addressed is necessitated, is one of the necessities of Iman, and that its opposition indicates defect in Iman, in faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. لَا تُقَدِّمُوا, don't put yourselves forward before Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, don't put forward any saying or any action before Allah and His Messenger. So therefore, do not forward any saying or any action before the saying of Allah, before Allah and His Messenger. And in the texts in the Quran and or the authentic Sunnah, there are other examples like this. And we went over some. From that is the hadith, لا تقدم رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين. Don't put forward before Ramadan the fasting of a day or a two. Because the one who precedes Ramadan by fasting a day or a two, which is not his habit normally, is the same as putting forward sayings and actions before Allah and His Messenger, in the sense that he begins the fasting before its prescribed time. And that's why Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma said, whoever fasts the day of doubt, then he has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let it be known that forwarding before Allah and His Messenger involves all forms of innovations, all kinds of bid'ah. Innovations are considered from forwarding between or before Allah and His Messenger. In fact, it constitutes the severest type of forwarding, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور. He said, hold to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me, and beware of the newly invented matter, meaning in religion. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that كل بدعة ضلالة, without any exception. كل بدعة, every بدعة is misguidance. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke the truth. Why? Because the reality of the innovator is that he puts things as if they are from the legislation, which indicates what? Indicates as if the Sharia is not complete. It entails that the Sharia is not complete, and that he, the Mubtadi', the innovator, is perfecting, completing it by his own innovation. You know, this is in direct opposition to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, today I have completed your religion for you. So therefore it is to be said to this innovator, is this that you are doing, is it perfecting, completing the deen? If he says yes, then his statement, involves or necessitates belying the saying of Allah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, this day I have perfected your religion for you. And if he says it is not a completion for the deen, we say then it is a defect. Yours is a defect. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالُ. What is there after the truth except misguidance? So therefore, the bid'ah, the innovation, in addition of being dhalala in itself, misguidance, then in itself it's also, in reality, it involves accusation of the deen of Allah, that it is imperfect, and that this innovator completes it in that which he claims to be from Sharia. So therefore, all the mubtadi'ah, all the people of bid'ah, innovation, fall under this threat, because they are forwarding between or before Allah and His Messenger, and they didn't give attention to this warning and this prohibition, even though their intention may be good, or their intentions may be good, but still their action is dalala, misguidance. And he may be rewarded for his intention, good intention, however he is held blameworthy and sinful for his action. And therefore it's incumbent upon every innovator who knows that he is on an innovation to repent from it and return to Allah Azza wa Jal and hold to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after him. This is incumbent upon him if he really is a true believer in Allah and His Messenger. The other point is that the bid'ah, the innovations, are many, many kinds. There are innovations in aqidah, in the creed, and innovations in sayings, as well as innovations in actions. As to the innovations in the creed, then they revolve around two things: either A, tamthil, or B, ta'til. Tamthil. What does it mean, tamthil? In tamthil, the person affirms to Allah Allah's attributes, however, in a way which involves resemblance to Allah's creation, likeness to Allah's creation. This is an innovation, because this is not, remember, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor or neither it is the way, or nor it is the way of his khulafa, al-khulafa al-rashidin, the rightly guided caliphs. So therefore it is a bid'ah in decree. For example, this innovator affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wajh, a face, but he likens Allah's face to the faces of the creatures, or that he affirms that Allah possesses a hand, but he likens it to the hand of the creature, or the hands of the creatures, and so forth. So there is no doubt that these are mubtadi'ah, innovators in the religion, and particularly in the creed. And their type of bid'ah is belying the saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto Him. And belying the saying of Allah, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ, and there is no co-equal unto Him. And to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Maryam, هل تعلم له سمية? Do you know of any co-equal to him? This is the innovation in the creed of the type of tamthil. The other is the innovation in the creed in the type of ta'til, negation. And it is to negate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributed to himself from the attributes. And now remember, this kind of negation or denial, if it is a denial, meaning denying the attribute, then it is belying, and this is kufr, disbelief. However, if the negation is a negation due to false interpretation, then it is distortion and it is not kufr. If the wording or the interpretation is possible in the Arabic language, meaning it is possible, quote unquote, linguistically, purely. But if the Arabic language does not tolerate this kind of, and does not accept this kind of interpretation, then there is no difference between it and between the denial of belying. Let's take an example. If a person says now, concerning the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَةً, rather his hands, meaning Allah's hands, are stretched. In Surah Al-Ma'idah 60, chapter 5, verse 64. Outstretched. So if this person says what is intended by the hands in this verse is the favor of the deen and the favor of the dunya, or the favor of the dunya and the favor of the akhirah, then this is distortion. Why? Because the ni'mah, the favor, is not one, not even thousands, not even millions. Allah states in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 18, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you would count the graces of Allah, never could you be able to count them. So therefore, the ni'mah, it's neither two by category nor two by kind. You understand? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying both his hands. So therefore in this case, this is tahreef. This is tahreef, distortion and innovation. Because it is in opposition to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has received, as well as his companions and the rightly guided ulama of the scholars, the khulafa and the scholars of the sahaba after them. This is concerning the innovation of the creed. The second type is the innovation in sayings, like those who innovate certain types of remembrances, certain tasbih, certain tahleel, certain takbirat, which there is no proof regarding them from the sunnah. Or for example, they innovate certain invocations that has no basis in the Sunnah, and they are not from the permissible type of innovation of invocations, for example. So this will constitute as an example of the al-bid'ah fi al-aqwal, the bid'ah in sayings. As to the bid'ah in actions, like those who clamp upon making remembrances of Allah, or they shake their heads upon recitation, thinking this is worship, and the like. Also like those who wipe their hands on the Kaaba in other than the black stone and the Yemenite corner. Also like those who wipe their hands on the chamber of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grave in Medina. Similarly, those who wipe their hands on the pulpit, which is said to be the pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Prophet's Masjid, or claimed to be the pulpit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the Prophet's Masjid. Similarly, those who wipe their hands on the walls of the Baqiya Cemetery, or other than that. And the bid'ah are innumerous in creed, in sayings, and actions. And all of them are of the form of putting forward between Allah and His Messenger. And all of them are acts of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore says, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Don't put yourselves forward in sayings, actions, etc. before Allah and His messengers. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, إياكم ومحدثات الأمور. Beware of the newly invented matters in religion. And from the innovations is that which is conducted during the month of Rajab. Which is the seventh month of the Islamic calendar. Like the so-called Salatul Raghaib, which is a prayer offered the first night of the Jumu'ah. Of the first Jumu'ah, the night of the first Jumu'ah from the month of Rajab. And this is a salah of 1,000 rak'ah. And they worship Allah through this. This is an innovation which only distance them farther away, or further away, or farther away from Allah. That is because anyone who takes a means of nearness to Allah, which is unlegislated, then he is an innovator, zalim, disobedient, unjust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept from him his worship. This is because it is affirmed in the Sahihain, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, from the books of Sunnah. From Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Anyone who does an action which is not in accordance with our way or our matter, meaning of deen, will have it rejected. And from the putting forward before Allah and His Messenger is that a person may say a saying as a ruling between people, and it is not from Sharia. Like, for example, saying this is haram, this is halal, or this is obligatory, or this is recommended without dalil, without evidence. That this is from putting forward between Allah and His Messenger. And therefore, anyone who says something of this regard, and it becomes clear that later it is wrong, then he must return to the truth. Even if this saying already became spread amongst people, and people acted according, then it is incumbent upon him to retract and announce that, make that known. In the same way that he had said his saying, which was wrong, and which could also be, he could be excused in the sense that in that saying it may be due to an ijtihad, but it's still, if it is wrong, then it is incumbent upon him to return to the truth, because transgressing the limits in opposing the truth is from the forwarding between or before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then in the same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wattaqullah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulihi, or who you believe, don't put yourselves or your sayings and actions forward before Allah and His Messenger. Wattaqullah. This is a generalization after particularization. Why? Because forwarding before Allah and His Messenger is in direct opposition to taqwa, to the fear of Allah. But Allah introduced that before mentioning fear Allah because of its importance. Because of this importance. And that's why He mentioned it before saying and fear Allah. And the meaning of wattaqullah, meaning take a means of protection from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this cannot be achieved unless the person executes the commands of Allah and abstains from his prohibitions, executes the commands as a means of nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal and loving for his reward, and he abandons and keeps away from the prohibitions, fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, fearing His punishment. And it is witnessed that with many people, if you say to the person from them, ittaqillah, then a reaction of false pride and puffing may occur, and he may continue in his sin and his saying would be like, you say this to someone like me, but the poor person does not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the one who is more honorable than him and than the rest of the creation. He commanded him with taqwa. قال الله تبارك وتعالى in سورة الأحزاب chapter 33 verse 1, يا أيها النبي اتق الله ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين. O Prophet, keep your duty to Allah and obey not the disbelievers and the hypocrites. وقال الله تعالى in سورة الأحزاب, the same surah, verse 37, the same surah, verse 37, وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَاهُ. And who is the one? وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ, and fear Allah, وتخفي في نفسك ما الله مبدي وتخشى الناس والله أحق أن تخشى. But you did hide in yourself that which Allah will make manifest. You did fear the people, whereas Allah had a better right that you should fear Him. And who amongst us is fit not to be commanded to fear Allah? Who? Each one of us deserves to be commanded, is fit to be commanded to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the way it should be, that if someone says to the other, ittaqillah, then he should increase in fear, in his fear of Allah, and re-examine himself and check as to what, to that which he is commanded to do. Why? Because he is not commanded to fear such and such person, so and so, but rather he is called to fear Allah, most mighty and most magnificent. Now, if we interpret the meaning of the taqwa as taking means of protection from the punishment of Allah by complying to His commands as means of nearness to Him and loving His reward and keeping away from His prohibitions, fearing His punishment, then in this case, any person who abandons a wajib, an obligation, then in this case he did not fear Allah, and his taqwa of Allah diminished in proportional way to his opposition of the order. So therefore the taqwa, the opposition of the taqwa varies. Some of it could be kufr. Some of the opposition to taqwa could be kufr, disbelief, and it may be lesser than that. For example, tarku salah, abandoning the salah, this lifts the taqwa entirely, because the one who completely abandons the salah is a kafir, as proven by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sayings of the companions radiallahu anhum, to the extent that some of the ulama rahimahumullah related ijma', consensus amongst the companions, that the one who abandons the salah is a kafir, a kufr that takes him out from the millah of Islam, from the religion of Islam. And from them is the famous tabi'i, successor to the companions, Abdullah bin Shaqiq rahimahullah, who said, kana ashabu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yaruna shay'an min al-a'mali tarkuhu kufr ghayru as-salah. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see that, or saw that no action takes the person out of the fold of Islam except the abandonment of salah. Also Ishaq bin Rahaway, the greatest scholar rahimahullah, related their ijma', related the ijma', the consensus of the companions on this. And there is no authentic statement to any one of the companions that the one who abandons the salah is in paradise or is a believer and the like. So this is one form of opposition to taqwa that takes the person out of the fold of Islam. The adulterer, when committing the adultery, he is in opposition to the taqwa. He did not fear Allah because he committed adultery, and therefore he opposed the command of Allah and disobeyed Him. The thief, when stealing, committing the theft, he is not fearing Allah. He made an opposition. The one who consumes alcoholic beverages, the same. The one who does not fulfill the rights of his parents upon him, the one who severs the ties of kinship, all did not fear Allah. And the examples are many. So the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wattaqullah, is a general, comprehensive word that covers all sharia. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna allaha sami'un alim. This statement is a warning for us. Warning so that we don't fall into the sin of forwarding before Allah and His Messenger, or oppose the command of Allah and thus be from those who don't fear Him. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or said, verily Allah, inna allaha sami'un alim. All hearer, all knower. Sami' meaning hears. All hearing. He hears what you say. Alim meaning he knows what you say and what you do. Because al-ilm, knowledge, is more comprehensive. That is because the hearing relates to that which is heard. And the ilm, the knowledge, covers all the known. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything with His knowledge. Nothing escapes Him in the heavens nor in the earth. يقول العلماء, the scholars رحمهم الله, say, إن السمع الذي اتصف به ربنا, and this is a very important benefit, the hearing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses, السمع, the attribute of hearing, is divided into two types, سمع إدراك وسمع إجابة, a hearing of comprehension and hearing of response. The hearing of idrak, comprehension, meaning that Allah hears every voice, hidden or apparent, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that He Azza wa Jal, most mighty and most magnificent, says to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in Surah Al-Mujadila, chapter 58, verse 1, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما والله يسمع تحاوركما إن الله سميع بصير. Indeed Allah has heard the statement of her, Khawla bint Thalaba, her, that disputes with you concerning her husband Aus bin Samit, and complains to Allah, and Allah hears the argument between you both. Verily Allah is all hearer, all sayer. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said concerning this, Alhamdulillah, she said, all praise be to Allah, alladhi wasi'a sam'uhu al-aswat, whose hearing comprehends all voices. Laqad kuntu fil hujra, I was in the chamber, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chamber, والمرأة تجادله, and the woman complains and disputes, and he converses with her, وإنه لا يخفى علي بعض حديثها, and I couldn't hear some of her argument. And Allah Azza wa Jal informed us that He heard all that which took place between this woman and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a hearing of comprehension. And this hearing of comprehension itself is of three types. Sam' al-idrak itself is of three types. The first type is that which indicates comprehension and encompassment. Comprehensiveness and encompassment. Like this ayah. Like this ayah we're talking about. The second, that which is intended as a threat. That which is intended as a threat. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran, 3:181. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of those, meaning the Jews, who say, truly Allah is poor and we are rich. We shall record what they have said and their killing of the prophets unjustly, and we shall say, taste you the torment of the burning fire. Listen now how, listen, and contemplate this. He said, سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا. We shall record what they have said. When they described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, described him having defect. He said this before he said, وَقَدْ لَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. He said it before saying, and their killing of the prophets unjustly. Which indicates that attributing defects to Allah is far greater than killing of the prophets. Is that clear? Is that clear? The third time, a hearing, which means support, help, like, for example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa and Harun in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 46. لا تخافا إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. He said, fear not, verily I am with both of you, with you both, hearing and seeing. So what is intended here by the hearing? It means support. I hear you and I support you. I hear what you say and what is said to you. And therefore, I will give you help. So these are three types of this kind of hearing. The first kind, or the category of hearing, is comprehension, al-idrak. And the idrak is three types. First type is encompassment and comprehensiveness. Second type, as a threat. Third type, as help and aid. Is that clear? This is the first category of hearing. The second is al-ijaba, responding. It means that Allah responds to those who invoke Him. And from that is the saying of Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Ibrahim 14:39, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَاء. إِنَّ رَبِّي لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَاء. My Lord is indeed the all-hearer of invocations, meaning He responds. And from that is the saying of us in the prayers, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Allah hears the one who praises Him, meaning Allah responds to the one who praises Him and thus rewards Him. And we don't know really, do we really comprehend what we say in our salah, or we just say it as worship and we don't know the meaning? When we say Allahu Akbar, how many of us remember that this takbira of ihram, it means that Allah is greater, meaning greater than anything? Do we really comprehend this? Do we comprehend the meaning? And when we say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا, verily Allah hears those who respond, those who praise Him, meaning that Allah answers them. It doesn't mean that only Allah hears them, because Allah hears the one who praises Him and those who don't praise Him if they speak. But what is intended, that Allah responds to the one who praises Him and gives him thawab, reward. So therefore, this hearing here necessitates responding to the invocator. So this is concerning the attribute of hearing and the had in this verse. Then Allah said, "Inna Allaha sami'un alim." Alim meaning comprehensive knowledge, vast comprehensive knowledge. Verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. قال الله تعالى in Surah At-Talaq 65:12, الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. It is Allah who has created seven heavens and of the earth the like thereof, meaning seven. His command descends between them, between heavens and earth, that you may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah surrounds, comprehends all things in His knowledge. So when the believer believes that Allah is all hearing and all knowing, then would it be in one's own soundness to say that which does not please him? Really, no, because he hears, all hearer, and therefore one should not make him hear that which he subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. Let him hear what he loves and is pleased with if we are truly believers that he is all hearer. And one knows that if one's father admonishes him not to say such and such a statement, would he dare to make him hear that which is not pleasing to him, or make him hear that which he exactly forbade you to do or to say? Allah is far greater, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be cautious, and therefore make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hear, and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hear that which is pleasing to him. And if we believe that he knows and he is the all knower, all knowing, and this is far more comprehensive than the hearing, because it includes saying and actions, and as well as self-talk, that when one conceals within himself, this is known to Allah Azza wa Jal. If this is known, then should one then act in a way that is not pleasing to him? It shouldn't. Because the objective here in telling us that Allah is all hearer and all knower is not just to know this information, but to know and to believe and to act. So therefore, what is important is the outcome, the result entailed by the fact that Allah is all hearing, all knowing. So if we know that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing, then we should say that which pleases Him, not that which displeases him, because he is going to know it. He knows it. And also, at the same time, we should not have creeds that are not pleasing to Allah, because we know that he knows what's in our hearts. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 235, وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوا. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوا. And know that Allah knows what is in your minds, so fear Him. And know that Allah is oft forgiving, most forbearing. وقال تعالى in Surah Al-Anfal chapter 8 verse 24, and this is very, very profound. وَاعْلَمُوا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه. واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه. And know that Allah comes in between a person and his heart. He comes between you and your heart. So therefore, it is incumbent upon us, whenever one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pass by any of his names or any of his attributes, that we believe in this name, that we believe in this attribute, and that we establish the fruit, the outcome, the result that should be entailed or that is entailed by believing in the name and believing in the attribute. So this is the first etiquette learned from this verse. First etiquette, not to forward anything between Allah and His Messenger. The second etiquette is in the second verse of this surah, of this chapter. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Oh, you believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, nor speak loud or aloud to him in talk, as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you perceive not. O who you believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ, nor speak loud to him in talk, as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you perceive not. So the first verse forbade forwarding between Allah and His Messenger, any saying or any action or anything. However, this voice or this verse concerning raising the voice, speaking aloud, although there may be no forwarding of rulings, tahleel, making halal, making haram, or obligation, or something like that. No, Allah says here, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet. So if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم therefore talks to you in a low voice, then make yours lower. And if he raises his voice, raise your voice, but your voice should be still be lower. That's why Allah says, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم, nor speak aloud to him in talk, as you speak aloud to one another. Allah says, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet. Then in the next verse he said, ولا تجهروا له بالقول, nor speak aloud to him in talk, كجهر بعضكم لبعض, as you speak aloud to one another. So then, don't call him with loud voice as you call others. However, it should be loud with manners and with reverence and respect that fits the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this also is in harmony with another verse in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 63. قال الله تعالى لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Make not the calling of the messenger among you as your calling of one another. So if he calls you for something, don't make it like your call to others. Meaning, if you respond or you may not respond, no. But rather with the Prophet ﷺ, you must respond. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal, in the beginning, Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 24, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O who you believe, answer Allah by obeying Him and His Messenger when He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls you to that which will give you life. And here He said, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ, nor speak aloud to Him in talk as you speak aloud to one another. Similarly, don't call upon him in the ways and manners you call each other. So don't say, Ya Muhammad. ولكن قولوا, rather say, Ya Rasul Allah, Ya Nabi Allah, and the like. And there is a warning. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you perceive not, become futile. So you should watch. Meaning that we forbade you to raise the voice above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ and to speak aloud in this manner, lest your deeds may be rendered in vain while you know not. So in this there is evidence that the one who raises his voice above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ or speaks aloud to him in talk as he speaks aloud to other people, he may fall under this threat, meaning his deeds may be rendered fruitless while he perceives not. Why? Because this may instill in the heart of the person a disrespect, istihana, lowering, abasement of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is ridda, apostasy, which renders the deeds invalid. And when this verse was revealed, one of the companions, and his name is Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu anhu, he had a loud voice, and he was one of the khutaba used to address the Prophet ﷺ. So when this was revealed, he assumed that it referred to him, since he was noted for his loud voice. So he got up and left and went home in grief, believing that he was destined for hell fire because of the warning. And then he told his wife Jamila bint Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, he told her to nail the bedroom door shut after he had entered, and she did that as he requested. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed Thabit's absence in the majlis, he sent one of his companions to find out what had happened to him. And so they told him that he is in his house since the time of the revelation of this verse. So the Prophet ﷺ called for him, asking him, he said, that Allah revealed this verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Oh, you believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ, nor speak aloud to him in talk as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you perceive not. And that he considered that his deeds were nullified and that he is from the dwellers of hell. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he summoned him and he came and he told him that, the Prophet ﷺ said and assured him that he would be among the people of paradise. And he said, Ama tarda an ta'isha hamida wa tuqtala shahida wa tadkhul al-jannah. Wouldn't you like to live praised and honored, and you killed as a martyr and admitted to paradise? He said, certainly, I accept. And so he was killed as a martyr in the battle of Yamama radiallahu anhu, and he lived honorable, and he will enter paradise by the testimony of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ولذلك, and that's why Thabit radiallahu anhu is from the ones who are witness, or testimony has been made to him in name, that he is from the people of paradise in person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the dwellers of paradise by his mercy. Subhanahu innahu waliyu thalika wa qadiru alayh. So why we say this with respect to Thabit? Because every person whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam testified that he is from the people of paradise, then he is from the people of paradise. And every person whom the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam testified that he is from the dwellers of hell, then he is from the dwellers of hell. As far as those whom there was no mention that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not testify for them, so we testify in general. We testify in general and say كل مؤمن في الجنة. Every believer is in paradise. وكل كافر في النار. And every disbeliever is in hellfire. And we don't attest or testify to any person in name or particular that he is from the people of hell or the people of paradise, except whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified for concerning him, and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified for him. So therefore, in this ayah, in this noble ayah, there is the matter of magnification of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made clear, and that it is not permissible for a person to raise his voice like he raises with other people other than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when this was revealed, the companions learned a great etiquette with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that some of them used to speak secretly, to the extent that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not understand what they were saying, until he goes again and asks him. And in this ayah, therefore, there is evidence that anyone who lowers or abases the Prophet ﷺ's command, then his deed is rendered fruitless, because this is ridda, apostasy, and mocking of the Prophet ﷺ is a ridda, it's apostasy, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated concerning the hypocrites who mocked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as revealed in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 65. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. And if you ask them, they used to say, or they declare, we were only talking idly and joking. What did they say? They said, we didn't see people like those reciters of us, meaning they refer to the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, who are more or who have bigger bellies than them, and who have we didn't see anyone who is more coward than them during the times of encounters in battles, and no one whose tongues lie more than them. Allah certainly heard what they said. So Allah revealed this verse. If you ask them about this, they declare, we were only talking idly and joking. Say, was it at Allah and his ayat and his signs and verses and his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that you were mocking? So when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked them about that, they said, إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ عَلَى الْعَبِدُ, was just idle talk, you know, meaning we used to say things which we didn't intend, but just to ease the travel distance, the journey. So Allah revealed this. قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Was it at Allah and His ayat and His verses and His signs and His proofs and revelation and His messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that you were mocking? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. The next. لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Make no excuse. You have disbelieved after you had believed. So therefore from this, the correct opinion is that anyone who insults the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is kafir, murtad. He's an apostate, disbeliever. فَإِنْ تَاب, if he repents, we accept his tawbah. However, we don't lift the punishment upon him that he must be killed. Rather, he must be killed for taking the right, fulfilling the right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if he is killed after his repentance, his sincere and true repentance, then we pray upon him salat al-janaza like the rest of the Muslims who repent from disbelief or disobedience. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll stop here and then we continue tomorrow with the next verses. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.